Beloved congregation, with the help of the Lord, I will preach the word of God this evening from the scripture part that we have been reading from Judges 13. And I read especially one verse, verse 18, where we read as follows. Judges 13, verse 18. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? The theme for the sermon is an encounter with God. 3 points of attention: answer to prayer, the sacrifice, and the consolation. An encounter with God, 3 points: answer to prayer, the sacrifice, and the consolation. Congregation, I remember that in the time that we lived in South Africa, that it happened that we received an invitation to come to Joburg. We lived in Pretoria, and so just 3/4 of an hour to drive there. And the reason that we received that invitation was that the president of the Netherlands was visiting South Africa. And so they sent some invitation to some people representing the Dutch people living in South Africa. And we went there, and then we had a meeting, and we shook hands to the president, and he was speaking to us, and we could speak to him. And we thought, well, this is a special opportunity, this is a special occasion. That doesn't happen every day, that you can shake hands to the president of the country that you are born, such an important man, and shake hands with him. So it felt very special to us to be there, a meeting with such an important person. But now we have been reading this evening about the parents of Samson, and they meet someone very much more special. They have an encounter with God. They meet God. And at first they are not aware that it is God himself. But what a wonderful thing that the Lord is coming to them, and that he is willing to answer their prayer in such a way. They had been praying that the Lord would come, that man would come that gave the message to the mother of Samson. We even don't know her name. We only know the name of the father. And the father, he had such a desire that he would see that man. And the Lord was hearing their prayers. He was coming to them. Yeah, the Lord was coming. And they didn't know at first that it was the Lord. They had to be taught about that. When we read in verse 18, the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? You could translate that word secret also with wonderful. It is wonderful, and both is true. They couldn't fully understand what was happening there. It was secret in a certain way, and it was wonderful. The angel of the Lord. It happens more in the Old Testament that when it's spoken about the angel of the Lord, we have to think about the Lord himself. It's not just an angel, a messenger from God, but it is the Lord God himself. And then we have to think about the Lord Jesus Christ, who was not yet born in the flesh on earth, but who came to this earth sometimes for some reasons, like here, with a message or to reveal things to man as an angel. But God himself came, and we have to think about the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. We usually mention him as the second person of the Trinity. He was coming to this couple that would become the parents of Samson. And we are so encouraged when we see this, that the Lord is willing to come to people. I hope you have that expectation. I would like to ask you a question this evening. I would like to ask you, when it was the last time that you had an encounter with God? When the Lord was meeting with you? And maybe you ask, boys and girls, is that possible? Is it possible that the Lord can come in our days to me? To us? Yes, it happens. It will be probably in a different way. Not like an angel, but it is experienced by the children of God that the Lord is coming so near that they experience that He was very near to them, to their hearts, and that He was filling their hearts with His presence. I hope you know what it means. And I'm not saying that we have to make our foundation from special experiences, but I say that the Lord is willing to encourage and to teach us and to come near to us in this earthly life. But the question is, if we are seeking Him to come to our hearts and to speak to us, like we see that happens in this history, that the father, the parents of Samson, Manoah, and his wife, we read in verse 8, then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let a man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. It's so good to read this, that this man that will become the father of a special child, a child that would be used in the service of the Lord, he had a strong desire that the Lord would teach them. It was not unbelief. He did believe what his wife had told him, but he had a desire that the Lord would teach him also personally. Isn't it great that we have a man here that would become a father and that would like to take responsibility himself and to receive the teaching that he would need to bring up his child to the glory and for the service of the Lord? It's not unbelief. No, it's a desire to receive teaching from God, that God would come to him also, like he had been coming to his wife. And I hope that we recognize something of that desire. Oh, don't we have to confess that we can be so careless about the things of the Lord, that we think, okay, there are many important things in my life and I don't have time now to be busy so much with these things. That would be bad, because these are the most important things. And how great it is the way the Lord is revealing himself when they are praying. They worship the Lord in such a way to ask from the Lord more teaching and more revelation. Isn't that worshiping the Lord? No, it's not unbelief. It's a desire to receive more from the Lord. And the Lord is so willing to give that. I hope that we recognize that we are not satisfied with just a little bit of knowledge. Maybe that we are satisfied when we have received grace in our lives. That is great. When the Lord was working in our hearts, revealing himself, revealing Christ and his work. But oh, if we have experienced that, it cannot be that we are satisfied and say, well, now everything is all right, you know, if I received grace, then my soul is saved, and that's what it's all about in life, that your soul will be saved. Of course, that's such an important thing, that you receive that faith and that assurance of the Lord. But oh, that will never make you lazy or sitting back. If you have seen the goodness of God and the grace of God, you will have a desire to receive more. And you will not be disappointed. The Lord is willing to reveal more, to teach you more, and there is always more to receive from the Lord, to see more of His goodness and His grace and His power, and to receive more of that teaching for your spiritual life, not to become special in yourself, but to know the Lord more. That will humble you. That will not make you proud, to make a show of it. Look what a special person I am. How much the Lord has taught me. How much is revealed to me. No, that cannot be. When we see more of our need of grace and more of the goodness and the grace of the Lord, no, it will humble us. Oh, I hope that we are, if the Lord gave us children, that we feel the responsibility of bringing up our children, and that we will cry to the Lord for teaching and guidance. Sometimes you can feel powerless and you can experience a lack of wisdom. Oh Lord, how do I have to do those things? How can I guide and teach my children in such a way that they will be used in thy service in one or other way? It doesn't matter so much in what occupation they will be, but that they will live a life to the glory of the Lord. I hope you have that desire. And then we have teaching this evening. They cry out for teaching from the Lord Himself, and the Lord came to teach them. Do we do that as parents? Ask for the guidance and the help of the Lord. Isn't it great when we feel weak, when we feel powerless, when we feel that we have a lack of wisdom? Isn't that the thing that will bring us to our knees? If we feel satisfied about what we have and know and do, then probably we will not beg for the help of the Lord. But if we see that we cannot do it, that we cannot change hearts, and that we do not have enough knowledge and wisdom to guide and teach our children, that will make us cry out to the Lord and pray, like we see that Manoah and his wife are doing in this history. And the Lord is listening to them. The Lord doesn't say, well, I've told the wife of Manoah, so that must be enough. No, the Lord is willing to teach us more and more, and again and again. So if you are seeking for more light, you are encouraged this evening by this scripture part, that the Lord is willing to give you more light and to encounter that there is a God that is willing to give you an encounter with God, that you will meet Him, that you will experience that the Lord is coming to your soul very personally. How does that happen? Maybe you say, children, how does that happen, that the Lord will come to my soul? Well, prayer, like we see in this history, is an important aspect in that, in the Lord coming to our soul. It doesn't mean that we make ourselves worthy, but it is to express our need and our desire. And that's what the Lord is willing to use, to reveal Himself to our hearts. That's one. And we have the Word of God, where we can see and read and find how Christ is. And oh, when we study the Word, and the Holy Spirit is coming with that studying of the Word, there can be those times and those experiences that we experience that the Lord is there, is near, is filling our heart. that there's such a satisfaction, such a fulfillment inside, such a sweet experience that the Lord is good and gracious to us, and that He is almighty, and that He is forgiving, and that He will never forsake us. Oh, those times in your life, isn't that so necessary to have it, to be encouraged, to go on, to hold on, to continue, to seek the Lord and to fear Him and to live to His glory and to fight the fight of faith. Do you know about those times in your life? When was the last time that the Lord was coming to your soul, speaking powerfully, speaking in such a sweet way that you cannot forget it, that you still remember it? I hope you have it many times. Maybe you say, well, the Lord is so good for me now. I'm walking in His love. That can be. It can also be that you say, I don't know the reason, but it's dark now in my life. Yeah. And also that is teaching us how helpless and powerless we are in the spiritual things. And that it is not a normal thing. I mean, that we do not deserve it when our hearts are filled with the love of the Lord. It's so admonishing us to seek Him again and more, so that we will receive that what we received before, His, to experience His nearness and His teaching and His guidance to our heart. And the Lord is coming to them, and there was a special reason that He came the first time, and He's so good that He's coming a second time, because He is going to rescue the people. And He is not doing that because they deserve it, but He is doing it because He is a faithful God. He is God of the covenant. Yeah, it is His faithfulness that He is going to rescue His people by the service of Samson. They do not deserve it, but He is going to use Samson. And oh, I hope that the Lord will call people in our congregation to be used by the Lord to save souls. I hope parents will pray for that, that their children might be used by the Lord to give a change in our land. We need it so much that there will be young people that will be risen by the Lord, will be taught by the Lord, so that they will be used in His service, that there might be a powerful working of the Holy Spirit, a return to God in our land. We need that so much. I hope you are willing to give your child to the Lord for that reason. The Lord is hearing their prayers. There the man of God is coming. No, it is God Himself coming like an angel. And when He is coming, Manoah is not there, and his wife is hasting to call him, and then he is coming and asking in a humble way for teaching. The Lord is willing to teach. So, young people, boys and girls, if you have a lot of questions, that is not a big problem. But are you having a desire for teaching? The Lord is willing to teach you, to guide you, and to give you the light of the Holy Spirit, like He is doing here. And when that man is coming, it is so wonderful, although they do not desire fully what is happening, they experience that there's a wonderful thing, a great thing happening. This is not a usual thing. And they have a desire that it will last longer. So they ask this man to stay with them. And they offer him to prepare a meal so that he could eat. And they do not fully understand that it is God Himself who doesn't need food to maintain His life. It can happen that the Lord is coming to us, working in our hearts, and we we are still not clear about many things. We do not fully understand what is happening. We do not know it so much by experience, because it's all new to us. I was thinking about Samuel. When the Lord was speaking to him, he didn't know it, because he hadn't experienced it before. Although it was a God-fearing boy and child, he didn't have that experience of the Lord coming to him, to be near to him and to speak to him. And that can be in your life, that in the beginning you are confused. What is happening in my life and in my heart and in my soul? And then the Lord will give you more and more light, so that you see more and more clear whom the Lord is and what He is doing and how He is saving your soul. There is a growing in grace and knowledge. You should not be discouraged when in the beginning, when the Lord is working in your life, you have a lot of questions. You even can be confused. You do not know everything. And when you watch others, you think, well, they know a lot more than I do. And then sometimes maybe Satan can say to you, well, it is not true in your life, because you do not know as much as that other person knows. Now, that is a lie, that would be the reason, or that would show you that you do not know the Lord, because there is a difference. There are those where the Lord is working in their hearts that are still like babies. They are still very young. They don't know everything. They have to grow up in knowledge of grace and of Christ. And then they grow up like young people, and then at last they will be adults spiritually, that they are experienced in the things of the Lord, and that they know what it means when the Lord is coming near to their souls, and that they have those experiences of living with the Lord, and even stumbling, and even being attacked by Satan, and they know what it is to be humbled in themselves, but also that the Lord will come back to make them stand up and to experience that sweet comfort in their hearts again. So there's a growing up in grace and knowledge. You should not be discouraged when you do not know everything in the beginning. The question is if it is true in your heart. If you can say honestly, oh, I need the Lord, and I have a desire to live to the glory of the Lord, and I see my need for forgiveness of sin, and I trust that there is power in the blood of Christ. And maybe you don't still have that assurance, that you're that full assurance that your sins are forgiven. You can have times of doubting so much. You can be attacked by Satan, who says, no, it's not true in your life. But there is a growing in faith and receiving more and more assurance by the Word of God and by the work of the Holy Spirit. So do not be discouraged. When you see that the work of the Lord is still small and weak in your heart, but search your heart and life if it is true, if you are honest in those things. And if there is something of the willingness to give everything in your life to the Lord, to surrender yourself, to live a life of dedication. They want to give what they have to this man of God, although they do not yet fully understand what is happening now, whom he is. And the Lord is teaching them, and he says, well, it will be a sacrifice to the Lord, and they prepare it, and then they want more teaching. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? He has desire to receive more teaching, to know this man more. I recognize it. I remember. And I still have it. But especially in the beginning when the Lord was working in my heart, I said to my wife, I would like to buy all the theological books. I want to know. I want to know whom the Lord is. I want to read. And I had to find out that I cannot read all the theological books in my whole life, but I had a desire. Do you recognize it? I want to know the Lord. Whom is the Lord? What does it mean to know Him, to serve Him, to live with Him, to have that assurance of forgiveness of sin? What is the will of the Lord? What is His name? Do you have that? Or do we have more the desire to know everything of the world, to experience sin, to have all the properties of the world? If that is true, that is sin. Confess it to the Lord. Be honest about that. The Lord should have the first place in our heart and life. And you say, well, I cannot help that. It's how my heart is. Okay, I understand what you say, but confess it to the Lord that your heart is so sinful, that you are not willing by nature to give your life to the glory of the Lord, even to sacrifice yourself to the Lord. Isn't it bad? Isn't it a shame that we have to confess that? That we have that resistance inside? Oh, well, the Lord is so good. And He is our Creator. He deserves everything. And while we have been turning our backs to the Lord in paradise by sinning, by rebellion, that the Lord still came behind us, calling us, Adam, where are you? And that He gave His only begotten Son. Would you do that? Give your Son in the hands of enemies? Oh, the Lord is so gracious, so worthy to receive everything in your life. And you will never be disappointed. You will never regret that if you do that. So confess it to the Lord. If you say, my heart is unwilling, there's resistance in my heart, there's only way that it can be changed. If you confess it to the Lord and cry out for grace and forgiveness and renewal and the power of the Spirit, so that you might sacrifice yourself to the Lord. Like Manoah and his wife, they bring a sacrifice to the angel of the Lord, to God Himself. They couldn't fully understand whom God is. Why askest thou this after my name, seeing it is secret? It's wonderful. The name of the Lord in the Word of God is the Lord Himself. He is wonderful. And He is secret. We cannot fully understand His greatness and His goodness. But then they see what happens. When they bring that sacrifice, it is consumed by fire from heaven. The flame went up toward heaven from off the altar. And then the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And then they become aware, fully aware, that it is God Himself. So we see that sacrifice consumed by the flame going up to heaven. Isn't that a nice picture? Isn't that how our lives should be? That we would have the willingness to be consumed to the glory of God. Like Samson had to live a life totally in dedication to God. To be used, to be consumed to the glory of God. And he failed many times. Probably you've heard that Calvin said, let me be consumed if I only be used to the glory of God. And now when we see this sacrifice, it is remembering us of Christ, who gave himself in a perfect way as a sacrifice, as a burning sacrifice to be consumed to the glory of God, to save sinners. He gave everything to save me. If I see that, oh, I have a desire to see it more. It makes me so willing to be used by the Lord. And it makes me desiring to sup with the Lord. To taste His goodness in the Lord's Supper. How is it with you? Can you say that? If you can't say that, I preach you tonight. I proclaim you that the Lord can make it that way in your life. That He is still the same God who is doing that. He has done that with so many in world history. And there are among us that know that. That love that can feel like consuming you. To give your life to the glory of the Lord. Like a sacrifice, not to pay for our salvation, but for gratitude. Oh Lord, let me be used to Thy glory, to the salvation of sinners. Let me live a life like Christ was living on earth, being more and more transformed and renewed to His image. Let us sing, before we continue, let us sing Psalter 72, stanza 1 till 4. 72, stanza 1. Lord, hear me when I pray, and answer me in grace. Oft as I hear thee say, come ye and seek my face, my heart and lips, their answers speak, thy face, Jehovah, will I seek. 72, 1 till 4. Beloved congregation, we have been singing in red, "Do not turn away." And sometimes you can be afraid that the Lord will do that. And we see in Scripture that those times that the Lord was coming very near to people, it could be at that very moment that his children were afraid. You think about Isaiah 6, where the Lord was calling Isaiah, and then he saw so clear that he was an unholy man with unholy lips. He saw it when the Lord was revealing him, when there was an encounter with the Lord, when the Lord was coming near. He saw that he couldn't stand or exist before the Lord. I think about Peter, where he says, "Oh Lord, go out from me because I'm a sinful man." When he saw the miracle of Christ, he saw at the same time his sinfulness. Yeah, you can be afraid when the Lord is coming near because the Lord is holy. I hope we know that deep reverence in our hearts to the Lord, that we will never forget that He is the Holy One, and that we are creatures, and in ourselves unholy and sinful, that such a great miracle that the Lord is willing to come to our hearts, that He is doing that for Christ's sake. We see that Manoah is afraid when he became aware that it was the Lord, the angel of the Lord, God Himself. He saw it in the flame that went up from the altar. And then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, "We shall surely die, because we have seen God." And he thought, well, how can a sinful man see the holy God? He was afraid. He had a strong fear in his heart. And he was speaking about that to his wife. And it's so nice to see that he had a wise wife. That they could speak to each other about spiritual things. That's wonderful. Such a blessing if we receive a God-fearing husband or a God-fearing wife. If you are seeking for someone to live with, young people, pray that the Lord will give you someone who fears the Lord. That's the most important thing. That's the most important thing. That's the only way to have the most deep unity, the most strong foundation for your marriage. If you both fear the Lord and can speak about those spiritual things. Well, when Manoah is afraid, we see that he has a very wise and God-fearing wife. If you read the form of the marriage, then you can see that when you promise each other to be faithful to each other, then one of the things that you answer to is that you will be a help for the things of this earthly life, but also of the spiritual life. Don't forget that. And that's what we see happening here. It's such a blessing. What a difference with Job. He had also a wife that spoke to him, but in a totally different way. When Job was suffering, his wife said, "Well, it is now enough. Bless God and die." That's discouraging. That's wrong. No, that's not what the wife of Manoah is doing. She is teaching her husband. He thinks that he has to die because he has seen God. But his wife said unto him, "If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these. What does he mean? He says some things, a few things. And she says, well, but we have seen that the Lord accepted that burnt offering. He received it. So he didn't show his wrath to us, but his goodness, that he was willing to receive what we offered to him. Why are you afraid? Didn't you see the goodness of God? That's great. If you can speak in such a way to remind about the goodness of God, his gracious deeds, what he has done. You can have those times that you are afraid. Oh, the Lord has forgotten us. Oh, maybe the Lord is angry with us. The Lord is punishing us. That you are reminded of his goodness and his gracious deeds. That's one thing that she is saying to her husband. If he would have been willing to kill us, why did he accept our burnt offering? Why did he receive it from our hands? And the other thing she's saying, she says, well, he came to us with a promise that we would receive a child used in the service of the Lord. How can you think that he would kill us now? We have the promise of the Lord. Isn't that great? What a wise wife Manoah has. What a blessing. Reminding her husband about what the Lord has promised, so that he would have rest and peace in the promise of the Lord. The Lord had promised that they would receive a child, so how could he kill us now? Then his promise wouldn't be true. That cannot be happening. The Lord is not a liar. He has promised us to give us a child. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would us at this time have told us such things as these. So he has promised us that he would rescue people by a child that we will receive. Isn't that great? Do you think about the promises of the Lord? Do you study the word in such a way that you put your finger to the promise of the Lord when Satan is attacking you, making you afraid, showing you your sins, showing how unholy you are, and reminding you that the Lord is holy and cannot allow sin, that you take the word of God and put your finger to the promise of the Lord about his child that is born in this world, that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and that the blood of Christ is washing and cleansing from all sin. So, if I flee to him with all my guilt, with all my powerlessness, with all my unworthiness, would he kill me? Then his promise wouldn't be true. And the Lord is not a man that he would lie. He is God, and he will keep his word. Oh, remind each other to this grace and goodness of God, to his promises. And did the Lord not show his goodness in your life, child of God? Did he not come to your soul? Did he not work in your life? Don't forget his deeds, but give him the glory and honor him for that. And receive that sweet joy in your heart, that the Lord is faithful, and that he will not forsake the work of his hands. And put your finger to his promise. Say, oh Lord, here it is written. Give me the power of that word in my soul again, so that I might glorify thee at thy table next Lord's Day, but every day, everywhere in this world. Amen. Let us pray together. Lord, we thank thee for thy word thy promises that are true, that are yes and amen in Christ. O Lord, that we might see it more. Yeah, we are unworthy. We are sinners in ourselves. Oh, but Lord, Christ came to save sinners. Oh, save our souls, that none of us would perish in sin, and that we will seek Thee. And Lord, that we will be honest in confessing our resistance, oh, our sinful desires, that we by nature more serve our flesh and the lust of flesh. But oh, thou art able to change that, and thou art changing that in the lives of thy children. They will have a fight till the end of their lives against their old nature. Oh Lord, it is true that thou hast changed their will so that they are sad about it and confess it and have also that new desire to live to the glory of thy name. Let all thy children be encouraged by thy word and also by the sacrament of the holy Lord's Supper. Bless thy word. Forgive us our unbelief, our doubting, all our sins. Go with us when we go on the dangerous roads, Lord. Keep us safe, also in this night, and that our hearts might be filled with that sweet grace that is in Christ in abundance for the salvation of sinners. Lord, that we might experience that nearness of Thee to our hearts. Lord, that we might seek Thee and find Thee every day. We thank Thee for everything we receive. Forgive everything that is not according to Thy holy will. We pray it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.